listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live the day after Championship Monday. That's the way we gamblers think of the calendar years, right? Okay, post-NFL. Now we're going into Fezzik gets 3 days off the All-Star break, so it's family time. Speaking of Fezzik, one of the pros who know, also Brad Powers, and we're going to ask ourselves the timeless question. Would you rather be right, and that's what I was, or would you rather win? Brad, a little later, we're going to discuss that. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start with the NCAA championship game where Virginia, it took overtime, but beats Texas Tech 85-77 last night. The Cavaliers winning the national title. So, RJ, what does Vegas make of what we saw last night in Minneapolis?
Well, I've got a question. I'm so curious about the answer. Brad, can you guess what I want to ask? It looked like you had a knowing smile on your face. Here's the question. Brad Powers' famous power ratings. Is Virginia higher rated than before the tournament or not?
Even though Virginia just won the national championship, just won six games in a tournament, I have Virginia lower in my power ratings right now today than what I had Virginia coming into the NCAA tournament. Remarkable. Win six games, you win the national championship, and I have Virginia about a point lower than what I had six games ago, RJ.
So how many coaches have more than three national championships? I mean, there's like only a handful, yeah. Right? Coach K's in the mix.
Yep.
You win something that the very best coaches pretty much in college basketball will win three, like a Bobby Knight wins it three times.
Yep.
And somehow you think they're worse than they would have been if they had lost in the first round.
Well,
I guess it would have been an adjustment. But if somehow they would have decided, you know, last year, Virginia, we lost a 16 seed, we're going to forfeit this game.
They actually show up. No, we're gonna take the tournament off.
They would have actually had a higher Brad Powers power rating, and somehow you're standing behind that.
I am standing behind it.
So, I mean, that's the question. That's the question. Is doesn't this make you? It's almost like if some statistical formula made you pick LeBron James over Michael Jordan. You got to say stop the calculations. Something's wrong.
You would think so.
But you seem comfortable.
I am comfortable because I can make a strong case that Virginia in all six games, expectations being the Vegas line, Virginia very well could be 0-6 against the number. And that's the basis of my power ranks is, you know, judging what it is in comparison to a Vegas line. And I got a Virginia team that very, at least at the end of regulation, was 1-5 against the number in these six games. And that one cover was by about 1.5 against Oklahoma, Fez.
Yeah, you have to downgrade Virginia. Look at their body of work in this tournament. They're playing a 12 seed Oregon. The game is tied with under 4 minutes to play. They're playing a 3 seed Purdue. In the final seconds, Virginia has a 10% chance to win that game against a 5-seed Auburn. In the final seconds, they have a 10% chance to win. Texas Tech in the final seconds. Oh, they've got a 20% chance, twice as much. Add or multiply those three together, a 1 in 500 chance that Virginia got to cut down the nets, but they did.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. That's Steve Fezzik. Now the question to Brad. He laid out the math. Hard to argue with it. We made a bet.
Yeah, we did.
My side of the bet is called the right side. You took four teams.
Yep.
They were
Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke, and Kentucky.
I took everybody else.
Yep.
And I said, but you know, even money's not quite good enough for me. I want you to give me 4-1. You said, okay.
Horrible.
But somehow I'm paying you $250 instead of you paying me $1,000.
Yep. I almost felt sorry for you, RJ. I mean, there was a time where I'm like,
you are one of the least empathetic people on the planet. So even if you felt like a deep in your belly twinge of that, that's really progress for Brad Powers.
It is.
But Brad, you texted me that RJ is going to have to ship it after the final came in on this game.
Even though I missed a rare show yesterday for illness, you might hear it in my voice. He's like, F that, ship it. Brad Powers. I mean, listen. I mean, there's not a lot of guys with the rep Brad Powers has that has this drop in his mix.
Welcome to Mirage, Mr. Papa Giorgio.
And we just found out why. A couple other things I want to talk about. So the Final Four, we started the conversation that the one and doneers didn't really matter. I would make the case Virginia and Texas Tech, Power Five programs, obviously, but they are the most like a lower level school amongst the Power Five, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're in the finals.
Yep.
Is that just a fluke? Is that something that we got to say to whatever degree we felt like senior leadership, time playing with each other matters? We got to upgrade that more. What's the macro takeaway?
Macro takeaway, I think you start with both coaches. Both coaches are elite, and Tony Bennett for Virginia and Chris Beard for Texas Tech. While they don't have a lot of stars in their lineup, at least stars coming out of high school as far as recruiting services go, these two teams do have lottery picks, at least one player on each team. So the fact you got an experienced team, elite coach, and at least your best player, Virginia's DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver for Texas Tech being lottery picks, I think it was that perfect combination, RJ.
I think the whole elite...
Well, hold on a second. We're comparing Duke... who coming into the year, the expectation was they would have the top three picks in the draft.
Yes.
And you're mentioning that one of the players on Texas Tech might be taken 14th.
On top of, yeah, great point, RJ. But keep in mind, those three players for Duke, all true freshmen, these guys for Virginia and Texas Tech are upperclassmen.
And that's my point. If anything, it makes the distance between the players and talent even more vast. Right, because it only takes 1 year for these, you know, great one and doneers to be at the top of the draft, and the Texas Tech guy and the, you know, these other players are working hard to just be somewhere in the teens after 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
So you're making my case. It just feels like the debate's over. Is it better to do it like Texas Tech or Duke? And it seems like we now know.
Better to do it as Texas Tech. Since we started the one and done, John Calipari did at Kentucky, and Duke's really, you know, emphasized it here the last few years. One national title in basically a decade for those two programs using the one and done.
Hmm. So Duke, how many has Duke won in the last 10 years?
Well, they won in 2010, RJ, but that was a senior-laden team.
Okay, so
the year after they did with Kyrie Irving, they started the one and done.
And it hasn't won one?
They've won one.
Okay, well, Kentucky won one, right?
Two titles.
Okay.
Very good, RJ.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
Guys, also, there was an injury that was brought up on the show yesterday and that we think may have played a major impact in the game. Brad Powers spotted this. So does Vegas think that injury to a Texas Tech player had the impact that Brad thought it would going into that game last night?
Well, first off, it seems to me Brad's gotten enough credit. But okay, Brad, you spotted this yesterday. Make your case.
Well, it was the player's name for Texas Tech is Tariq Owens. And obviously he was dealing with an ankle injury that he suffered in the Final Four semifinal game against Michigan State. Just reading the coach's, Chris Beard's, quotes said, hey, any other game, RJ, Tariq Owens is not going to play. But since this is a national title game, he's going to go ahead and give it a go. And if you don't know who Tariq Owens is, we gave this stat yesterday. It's a simple stat. Defensive plus minus basically means per 100 possessions, how does the team do with you on the floor? How does the team do without you on the floor? And Tariq Owens, number one player in the country as far as defensive plus minus, less than 100%, and it really showed last night.
Yeah, Owens finishes with 3 points, 5 rebounds, 1 block, and frankly, it seems like he got all of those in the first 12 minutes of the game and then just ran out of gas with the ankle and the knee injury.
And keep in mind, you could kind of see it. Looks like he, you know, speculating here, maybe took a shot, was fine, and looked good early in the game, but basically was a non-factor in the second half.
You mean like
half.
Just one Jim Beam and he was ready to go?
No.
Oh.
Nice. But it looked like it was clearly a factor later in the game. And, oh, yeah, that's where DeAndre Hunter seemed to go off for Virginia, was in the second half of the overtime, scoring 22 of his 27 points.
Last question. I'm RJ Bell. Steve Fezzik, straight out of Vegas. Steve. Have we ever seen a champion that won the 6 games have so many different spots during the 6 they could have lost?
All I can think of is NC State, all the way back to 1983, virtually drawing dead against Pepperdine, close wins against UNLV, Virginia, very fortunate win against Houston.
Oh, I thought that Houston was locked up. I said, five slam a who? Well, listen, let's give Brad one more last piece of credit. You said, I mean, this is maybe even December. With all the college knowledge, you said, yeah, Duke's mighty good, but I've got Gonzaga as a top 10 team in the last 10 years, and I've got Virginia as a top 10 team in the last 10 years. You said it on air.
I did.
And that's pretty strong. Pretty strong.
Pretty strong, but I do feel a little guilty. This Virginia team.
Well, listen, we can make this really simple. Just wave the bat.
No. Unless you want to go back in hindsight and wave that bet, the Ohio State-Washington Rose Bowl, where the Buckeyes are up 28-3, RJ. That's when I turned from feeling bad to thinking, oh, RJ got one on me on that one.
I don't even remember that.
Brad was telling me he was updating his spreadsheet with his bets against you, RJ, when this game went final.
Oh, my God. It's kind of scary sitting alone in his apartment. What? You got a little 1,100 square footer,
yeah.
Right? And he's like calculating all his games. Oh, all right. You know, Jonas, I'm going to let you decide what we talk about leading off the next segment.
Coming up next here on Straight Outta Vegas, we will talk about a bet on the show and how it turned out for one individual. That's next here, Straight Outta Vegas, Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will tell you what to look for in next year's NCAA tournament.
In every beginning of the second segment, you can look for our weather update from the Las Vegas Strip. Right now, it's April, 83 degrees, and the neon's chugging.
Guys, we referenced the bet between RJ Bell and Brad Powers, in which Brad Powers had a bundle of teams against the field with RJ.
I mean, you know, Jonas, let's be honest. You're not a straight news man.
No.
Would you agree with that?
Of course not, no.
I mean, like every time when you're doing those 5-6 hour shifts on the weekend, you would think like every time Jonas is going to talk, you're going to hear... like it's a news update.
Right.
But then you're talking like, I don't like the Dodger dogs or whatever. So, I mean, you're an opinion guy, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
It seems weird you would have presented that bet he and I had without the opinion that I had the obviously correct side and I still lost.
Well, no. We discussed this yesterday, just so you know, that Brad did not feel good about the bet at all.
That's a whole different story. If you don't like Virginia in the final, that's different than the fact that I took a college basketball expert. He left thinking, boy, I just made a great bet. And the truth was he didn't.
Horrible bet.
Somehow he still won.
And he acknowledged that it was a horrible bet. He said that on the show yesterday. So,
which makes it even more egregious that you're not.
Look, I am not a college basketball expert.
You're not a newsman.
No, not a newsman. Not a newsman. I add a little bit of hot sauce when I can. And so the hot sauce here is, what can we expect next year in college basketball? The odds are already out on who the champion will be. And right now it is Virginia. Virginia is the favorite. So what does Vegas make of the updated odds for next season?
Yeah, so we got the odds from Brad Powers.
Yeah.
See, this is news.
So So Virginia is indeed the favorite, 7-1, the Cavaliers. I will say this note, only two teams have repeated in the last 45 years since those John Wooden teams in UCLA. Only two have went back-to-back in college basketball. Don't be running to the window to bet Virginia, who's the favorite, 7-1 Virginia. Next up, Kentucky Duke.
You know, let's jump in and talk about that, the whole back-to-back thing, yeah, right? So if you have 32 NFL teams, and in theory they all have the same chance, so we know they don't quite, the conversation would be, well, back-to-back should only happen every 31 years or whatever, right? So is it that there's some inverse correlation, you think? You think it's harder for Virginia to win next year? Or it's just hard to start with? And thus, you don't get a lot of
I think it's harder to start with, especially a team that just won their first national championship, because there's going to be a lot of extra, I would say, media obligations that Virginia has. And the feeling for the first time, you just climbed to the mountaintop, and now you got to defend it, completely different feeling. Even Nick Saban struggled with that in Alabama. His 1-3 loss season since he won his first title was the year after winning his first national championship.
Especially after a redemption year where Virginia just lost as the number one seed the year before. For you got to feel that this was the focused year for them.
Yep, absolutely. Next up, continue. Kentucky 8-1. Duke also 8-1. You know, both teams are going to have a lot of guys as far as the one and done's going. Kentucky just had one today. PJ Washington announced. Duke's going to lose Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish. Both teams have good recruiting classes. Kentucky and Duke 8-1. Next up, Michigan State 12-1. And I got to be honest, if I am doing a preseason power rating right now, I wouldn't have Michigan State with the four shortest odds at 12-1. I think Sparty should be the preseason number one team in the country. Why? Michigan State, unlike Duke, unlike Kentucky, returns almost everyone. Four starters back for the Spartans. And keep in mind, this was a banged-up Michigan State team this year that was playing a lot of the season without two starters. They get back their second-best player, Josh Langford, who didn't play most of the season. And, of course, Cassius Winston, the best point guard in college basketball, is returning. Michigan State, 12-1, in my opinion, should be the favorite here. And last but not least, Michigan, 13-1 as far as the 15 with the shortest odds for next year's championship.
Anything jump out at you, Fez?
You know, one thing would be interesting. I wanted to ask Brad, would you rather have the five favorites or the feel?
I'm not betting it for a little while. You know, give me a couple of days now. I mean, when, you know, when someone loses like a big, when there's a poker game, the buddies put together and it's usually a weekly. If someone that's a friend of yours loses in that game, you don't call them like the next day and say, hey, 6 days from now, there's another game. You let it rest, Fez.
I think they should have run it three times last night instead of just once.
Well, then I would have won.
Guys, we got some drama in the NFL we're going to get to coming up in just a moment. Want to let you know Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Mako. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Mako today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. Aaron Rodgers has spoken out against a Bleacher Report article that came out last week in which he called it a smear campaign. He took shots at Greg Jennings, Fox Sports One personality and former Packers teammate. Aaron Rodgers saying nothing that you saw in the article was accurate. The Mike McCarthy relationship really defended himself and the Packers organization in response to the article that came out a week ago. So, with that being said, how does Vegas take what we've seen in Green Bay this offseason and look ahead to next year?
Well, Fez, you're the Vegas expert. What do you think?
Well, I think Green Bay right now is stack ranked the number 9 team in the NFL. They're supposed to win 9 games, and I think that that is very optimistic. Green Bay only won 6 games last year. Aaron Rodgers has had significant injuries 2 years ago and last year with his knee. And frankly, RJ, you put me onto this. Aaron Rodgers has not been the elite quarterback that everyone expects, not just the last 2 years, but the last 4 years. I think Green Bay under 9 is a sound investment.
It seems to me that Aaron Rodgers, it's not just last season. I mean, as you said, we've got 4 years on the pass or the yards per attempt.
Exactly right. So if we go back throughout his career until 4 years ago, he was always getting more than 8 yards per attempt, which is elite. In the last 4 years, he has fallen short of that 8 yards per attempt, which makes him more just a mortal average type of quarterback.
That's DeFezzik, Straight Out of Vegas. But let's make sure we're asking the right question. If we were asking who's at fault, who's the bad guy, Colin, who, for whatever reason, spends about as much time being negative about Aaron Rodgers as Jonas spends being negative about Colin. So right, I don't understand any of it. Right? I'm just trying to do a good radio show, not personal stuff. But Colin does seem to be anti-Aaron. So I think that you could make the case that Aaron's the party that's been wrong here. But he's been the same way throughout his pretty much his whole career since he started, right? So the question becomes, what kind of effects it going to have?
Yeah, and it might.
Oh, what, you're going to tell me it may or may not have effect?
It probably is going to give him extra motivation. Bottom line is, RJ, he's still 35. All that motivation in the world isn't going to keep him healthy necessarily.
Now, you know, we've got some listeners that's been listening 5-6 years. Fez, how long ago did you first predict that Tom Brady was going to slow down?
Oh, 5 years ago.
I mean, seriously, 5 years ago.
1 year, I'll be right, RJ.
You know, I don't know if you know this, Father Time is undefeated.
I do have a question for you guys, though, when you factor in this stuff. Do you think that this is just sort of the first peek behind the curtain that a lot of people are getting? And the reason I bring that up is we saw the same thing with the Patriots. In early 2018, there was that Seth Wickersham article that was like a 7-page piece put together by Wickersham where he talked about the dysfunction in New England and them not getting along. And since then, New England has been to 2 Super Bowls, and you could argue they should have won both of those. Is this just more us overreacting to our first glimpse behind the curtain, and this is just kind of a normal thing, or is there really something to it that you guys could take into next year?
I think there's 2 caveats. One is the Patriots article was so amazing because it was like one of the first times it ever happened with all that success. I also think this Packers article is a little different because it does seem so extreme. I mean, obviously writers are trying to be dramatic. But, I mean, Jonas, you are consuming the media all day, every day. Didn't it feel like one of the more extreme stories?
Yes, and a lot of the details in there, I did feel like it was sort of spun to give it more of an edge. You know, Mike McCarthy sneaking a masseuse up during team meetings, things like that.
Was it the same one for Miami or not?
No, it was not.
Oh,
no,
okay.
She's,
I didn't know how much controversy there was.
Yeah, no. But
I'm having a vision now, too. Yeah, I mean, I just made a big mistake.
Of course, yeah. You know, Mike McCarthy or Bob Kraft, you don't want to go down those roads. For all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
There may be some technical difficulties with Red Sox pitcher Chris Sale dropping to 0-3, now has an ERA over 9 after he allowed 5 earned runs in 4 innings of work. Fenway's opening day ruined by the Blue Jays 7-5. Indians dropped the Tigers 8-2 while the Rays doubled up the White Sox 10-5. Pirates pitcher Chris Archer suspended 5 games for initiating a brawl with the Reds on Sunday. Yasiel Puig of the Reds got a 2-game ban. Reds manager David Bell, a 1-game suspension. Some college basketball news. UCLA has named former Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin as the Bruins' new men's basketball coach, while Chris Mullin stepped down after 4 years as the head coach of St. John's. Overnight TV ratings for Monday's NCAA championship game between Virginia and Texas Tech were down 14% from the last time the title game was on CBS in 2017. Tiger Woods will tee off in the first round of the Masters on Thursday morning at 11:04 Eastern time. Rory McIlroy will begin his tournament 11 minutes later at 11:15 Eastern, with Phil Mickelson starting at 1:49 Eastern time in the same group as Justin Thomas and Justin Rose. Some news from the NFL as the League and Players Association released a joint statement that the sides met to discuss negotiations on a new collective bargaining agreement. The current CBA expires following the 2020 NFL season. Patriots have signed kicker Stephen Kyle Koskowski to a 2-year deal. Alabama and Oklahoma announced that they have come to an agreement on a home-and-home series in college football in 2032 and 2033. So mark your calendars. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. It's Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have best bets as we look ahead to some NBA action coming up later on here. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. RJ Bell, Brad Powers, and Steve Fezzik are in Las Vegas. Some technical difficulties. We will reconnect with them as soon as we get that sorted out. Some power issues there in Vegas, which is never a fun time in Vegas. And a affects a lot of people. I do want to get into some stuff in the NFL, though, because I do think that this is sort of interesting. The draft is coming up. The NFL draft is coming up. And a story came out today that Kyler Murray is visiting with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, this goes along with another story that came out this past weekend that Josh Rosen will show up and will be a part of the offseason activities for the Cardinals. Why that's a big deal is the norm, if a player's on the trade block or if a player has been mentioned in trade discussions, he normally would not show up to these offseason workouts. A player's not going to go there and just go through your drills and your activities if he knows that you're trying to trade him. We all assume that Josh Rosen is on the trade block. We just assume that Kyler Murray is the pick at number one for the Arizona Cardinals. Yet the Cardinals, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, have not really had any formal trade talks when it comes to Josh Rosen. I don't buy for a second the idea that the Arizona Cardinals can keep Josh Rosen and draft Kyler Murray and make that work. That's not happening. If you're a head coach, the last thing you want taking over year one of a program, and a bad program that is, and the Arizona Cardinals were a bad football team a year ago, is to enter in and immediately right off the bat deal with drama. They don't want to deal with that. And the longer Josh Rosen's on the team after you draft Kyler Murray, the longer that drama is going to continue. I think that there's a potential here that a lot of people have gotten this wrong. That the Arizona Cardinals, who control the draft board, the Arizona Cardinals, who are a team that sits atop the NFL draft and can basically control the draft any way they like with what they do number one overall, they could have just been toying with the media and toying with fans all along. And I thought about this a couple of weeks ago. What if this is all just an elaborate hype up, build up, smoke screen by the Arizona Cardinals to try and get the most that they can possibly get at the top of the draft? Because where it gets interesting at the top of the draft is if Arizona decides not to take Kyler Murray, who's the team that's jumping up there? Because if you're jumping up to number one in the draft, you're jumping up because it's you who wants to draft a quarterback. Jonas Knox, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio, the voice of you, the fan, and he is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
We're talking Kyler Murray here, and we were just talking, you know, the few weeks back, Kyler Murray, not only the shortest quarterback that we'll have as far as a possible starter in the NFL, but also we're talking about a quarterback that is one of the lightest quarterbacks that we've seen and far in experience. But yet the Vegas market cannot have enough of Kyler Murray at this point, Jonas. He is up to a minus 500 Jesus. Favorite to be the first overall pick. Keep that in mind. You got to bet $5 footlong at Subway to win $1, $500 to win $100, Fez.
And right before the combine, the over-under on where Kyler Murray would go, 9.5. You could bet that he'd be picked first, second, third, all the way down to ninth, and it was pick him. And now he is a minus 500 favorite. I think it's pretty clear that Arizona, the marketplace feels, is going to give up on Rosen and that they're taking Murray.
But isn't there some value, though, is there a bet out there in anywhere at any sports book to where Kyler Murray or to where the Arizona Cardinals don't take Kyler Murray number one overall?
So you got to understand this, Jonas. Bookies are bad. They're scum of the earth. They're cockroaches. A lot of these yes-nos on future bets being, you know, will Kyler Murray be taken? You can't bet the no on this. That's why I took advantage of that Duke bet, because for the one time I was able to bet the no, Duke will not win the national title. The only thing you can get at is pretty much betting on another player, like a Bosa, who's now 3-1 to be the number one overall pick, Fez.
And put yourself in the bookmaker's position. All they have done for 2 months is taking bets on Murray, and enough is enough. You walk in as the manager and you look at the liability and say, you know what, put a number on Murray. And one local book here has done it where he's minus 1400 to go first, and that book is basically saying, we are not going to take another bet on this guy.
Is there
Jonas, one thing I will say, a lot of these types of NFL draft prop betting, very new to Vegas and Nevada. It's only the third year we've been allowing betting, at least here in Las Vegas, on the NFL draft. and it is what we'd call a soft market, a little bit inefficient. Bookies are scared when it comes to the NFL draft. It's something not like a normal regular season NFL week game, and they're going to lower limits, and you're going to see some, you know, I wouldn't say shadiness going on, but you're going to see like that book having a Kyler Murray up to minus 1,400. When bookies are scared, that's when you look to take advantage, and you can maybe make some money here when it's all said and done, Jonas.
Is there an over-under as to where Kyler Murray goes? And I ask that question because I have a follow-up when you give me the number, because I've talked to people. I've talked to Bucky Brooks, who I do a show with here on Fox Sports Radio. He's a draft analyst, watches tape, played in the NFL. I've talked to other people who cover the NFL. There's a chance, if Kyler Murray doesn't go one to the Arizona Cardinals, that he could fall. And so that's why I think it's interesting. The longer they keep Rosen, maybe there is some value in that. So what is the over-under on where right now Kyler Murray is expected to go?
You know, we do not have that, Jonas.
Sure we do. It's 1.5, and the under is minus 500, Jonas.
Okay, because I just think that there is the potential that that could take place, because the Cardinals like him more than anybody else likes him. Like, they are the surefire team atop everybody else who knows him the best and likes him the most. So maybe there is something to the longer this drags on. Maybe you think about going the over on where he goes if Arizona continues to hold on to Josh Rosen, and he's still a member of the team, and he's still showing up to offseason workouts. So,
and obviously what could wreak havoc with all this is if Arizona trades away their number one draft pick, and then that could certainly impact these odds dramatically.
Oh, no doubt. All right, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. We do have NBA action at the top of the hour, a little over 20 minutes from now. It'll be tip-off in D.C. It's a TNT game between the Celtics and the Wizards, and right now on pregame.com, the Celtics in Washington are a 4.5-point underdog. Steve Fezzik, what do you got?
Yeah, and why is Boston a 4.5-point underdog to the horrible Wizards? Well, I actually like Washington in this game. I bet Washington minus 4.5, and it's all about Boston having no motivation in this game. Boston is locked into the number 4 seed. They just wrapped it up. Jonas, check this out. The entire starting 5 for Boston is sitting. Gordon Hayward, he's sitting. Baines is sitting. It is a D-League squad that the Celtics are going to have out there. If Washington can't win this game by more than 5 points, they should basically take the rest of the year off, which they're going to anyways. But I like Washington minus the 4.5, and I did bet them.
There you go. Good stuff from Steve Fezzik. Straight out of Vegas is brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. Up next here on Fox Sports Radio, there is another game, a nationally televised game in the NBA, plus a special Major League Baseball pick. That's all next here, straight out of Vegas, Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. You can always listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. We've got some best bets from around the world of sports, including a bet on the show, a big one in the NBA. But we're going to start out in Major League Baseball on ESPN. First pitch is 8 p.m. Eastern time. It is the Yankees at the Astros. And right now, Steve Fezzik, the Astros are almost a 2-1 favorite.
And I lean to the Astros, even laying the minus 200. Jonas, it's all about the New York Yankees injuries. Yankees have a $210 million payroll. Well, they had a $210 million payroll because $90 million of it is on the designated list here. So they only have $120 million left of players. And because of this, the Yankees are a shell of themselves. And the Houston starter, Cole, did not face the Yankees last year. Always difficult when you face a good pitcher that you haven't seen the year before. I lean to the Astros.
Okay, so a couple things. You got a pitcher that's not familiar with the opposing team, but vice versa, too.
Advantage pitcher.
Advantage pitcher. All right. Now, I'm remembering vaguely. Who had the highest win total of any Major League Baseball team?
The New York Yankees, 97.5.
And you and I bet this, and you went...
I went over.
So the public's betting them. Everyone with their Mickey Mantle jerseys are batting them. And Fez, you were just right in line behind them, whistling amazingly Hip to Be Square from Huey Lewis.
I'm open to a buyout on that bet.
Jonas, go.
Guys, it is the second half of the doubleheader in the NBA on TNT, and it sees the Rockets at the Thunder. And right now on pregame.com, the Rockets are a 2.5-point favorite.
And I lean to Oklahoma City plus the 2.5. Oklahoma City has maximum motivation here. They're currently in the number six slot, number six seed in the West. Win their last couple games, they're going to be the number six seed. Start losing, and they could become the number eight seed, and they might have to face Golden State if that was the case. Lean to Oklahoma City.
All right, so far we had a lean from Fezzik and another lean from Fezzik. But you don't have the guts to do three straight leans. So I think we're heading.
Well, I like the Washington Wizards.
Oh, for the 7 o'clock game.
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, just an update. I think the people are listening because that line has moved from 4.5 to 5. The Wizards -5 now on pregame.com.
Did you ever hear the story where Brad moved to Vegas and it was like his second podcast ever and he thought one of his picks was moving lines? True story.
Guys, speaking of the NBA, there's a major bet on the line. It's an in-show bet. It involves the Eastern Conference, which is going to be one of the best watches in recent playoff history. And it's you guys. It's RJ Bell. It's Brad Powers. It's Steve Fezzik. RJ, what is the update? Where do you guys stand? Where's the confidence level on each of your picks?
So we did an auction type. So we said, listen, Fez, you can have anyone you want. Brad, you can have anyone you want. RJ, you can have anyone you want. But we're going to bid up. And at a certain point, we say, oh, no, you take the first pick, Fez. What did you lay? Who'd you take?
I laid -115. I went ahead and bought Milwaukee Fear the Deer.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was second. No, wait. Brad was second. Yeah. He said, I looked in his eyes, actually. I said, I'm going to go one more nickel up, and then he'll have to go another nickel. How much did you lay on your team? And obviously, it's got to be Toronto, right?
No. I laid -125 and didn't even get the 3 seed, RJ. I had to get the 4 seed Boston Celtics when we did that.
So you're laying the lumber with the 4 seed.
With the 4 seed. Bad. Listen,
all I'm going to say is thanks to Brad venturing into the NBA. Because a lot of people would be humble enough to say, listen, I got all the college knowledge. RJ never made up anything about me being an NBA expert, so I'm staying away. But somehow, some way, he talks himself into it.
And good news, Brad, the Celtics almost fell to the number 5 seed, so you're fortunate that they're the number 4 seed.
So, Fez, we'll be able to actually do a 1-to-1. So correct me if I'm wrong, regular season over Wednesday?
Yes.
And we have 2 days off, then playoffs.
Playoffs start Saturday. Exciting. Right.
So Thursday and Friday this week, a lot of NBA preview stuff. You know, I wonder, do you think, Fez, make us a line right now, and we know you're doing it just in the moment. Give us the Eastern odds for the 3 teams we bet and the Sixers. And again, understanding this is off the cuff.
So if Milwaukee is slated to play Boston, the 1 plays the 4, Milwaukee would be about a 2-to-1 favorite.
No, I'm saying to win the East.
To win the East, Milwaukee's clearly the favorite. Toronto's clearly the number 2 pick. Maybe Milwaukee wins 40% and Toronto wins about 30%.
So you're saying Brad spent more money. It's almost like Brad looked at the parking lot, found the cheapest car, and kept saying, kept raising his paddle and somehow paid the most for the cheapest car.
Yeah, value, but he paid the most.
Value for the guy that used to own the car.
Yeah.
This is what I think is interesting about the Eastern Conference. We all assume, the 4 teams at the top, Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly, and Boston, are going to advance, get past the first round, and move on. Yet the only team that doesn't have a taker is the Philadelphia 76ers. What steered you guys away from Philadelphia, who's going to have a better seed than Boston? And if they were to meet up with Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, they would have home court advantage.
Well, really, Jones, correct me if I'm wrong. This is a question for Brad, because only Brad had Boston over Philadelphia.
I thought, looking at the Celtics, a team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7 a year ago without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward, was a better bet at that time than a 76ers team, while talented, were starting to figure out the parts and pieces integration-wise with all their different players. And keep in mind, the Celtics ran right through that 76ers team last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's concerns about Embiid and how he's going to hold up with his knee over the course of all these series. And we can't get out of our memory when the Celtics were underdogs, right? Missing players against the 76ers, and still Boston killed them 4-1 in the East last year.
Literally 10 seconds. Would you still want Milwaukee?
Absolutely.
Would you still want Boston, bro?
Absolutely not.
Who would you want in the East?
Milwaukee.
All right, Jonas, take it home.
All right, guys, this is Straight Out of Vegas. The Odd Couple with Rob Parker and Chris Broussard is coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio. We will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time and 3 o'clock Pacific. We're going to have a look at the Masters, the biggest event in golf. The guys will tell you who they like this upcoming weekend in Augusta. Plus, we continue our preview of the NBA playoffs and a little bit on the NFL draft and a lot of dominoes that could fall in the top 10 of the NFL draft. For RJ Bell, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Back tomorrow, 6 Eastern Time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com